For Canada and many other places around the world, June has been recognized as Pride Month. So should we be doing pro-life activism at Pride events? That is the topic for today's conversation. Stay tuned. Hi, folks. Welcome back to the Pro-Life Guys podcast, a show dedicated to equipping you with the tools that you need to have compassionate and compelling conversations about abortion so that together we can change minds, save lives, and transform our culture. My name is Cam. I am the host of the show. And as I mentioned off the top, this is going to be a bit of a doozy. Wherever you're at, if you're in Canada, if you're in America, if you're somewhere around the world, I know that we have a ton of people tuning in from Australia, from New Zealand, from England, from the Netherlands, a number of other places around the world. It's pretty cool, the maps that I'm able to see as to where people are tuning in from, which is kind of cool. I'm sure that some people are using the whatever reroute. I'm sure that I don't actually have eight people coming weekly from Iceland. But you know what? I'm thrilled to have you guys along for the ride, whether it's your first episode or whether you've been a longtime listener. It's a joy to have you along for the ride. As I mentioned, Pride Month. June is Pride Month in many places. We get not only cities and provinces and states and whatever flying their pride flags, and we have crosswalks that are painted. It feels like every store and business and everywhere else in the world has events trying to acknowledge, glorify, whatever we want to call it, the LGBT plus lifestyle, worldview, mannerism, whatever you want to call it. And obviously, there's a lot of overlap, I think it's fair to say, with people who would probably follow this podcast and people who would, at the very least, have a hard time with many of these events. And it begs the question that I have seen done poorly and done well, done intentionally and unintentionally, should we do pro-life activism at Pride events? And I always think back to, I believe it was in the winter of February 2015, I had four wonderful interns working with me here in Calgary, doing our one and only HEAT, highly extensive activism and training program for wonderful people doing activism with me here, January, February. And I was invited, along with the rest of the CCBR team, to come up and do one of our large Abortion Awareness Project events in Edmonton. And so usually we do them in Florida. We did this in Edmonton. A little bit of a difference. It was so cold that our video cameras, our security cameras, were literally freezing and not functioning. So we'd have to cycle them in and out of indoors to get them to run for 10 minutes, and then they would freeze, and we'd have to go back inside and warm them up, and then they'd come back out for 10 minutes, and we'd warm them up. It was like minus 35 or something, all outdoors. We were there for like 8 hours a day. But the most complicating component of it, I did zero research as to what was happening on campus when we arrived, and little did I know that this had been scheduled intentionally during Pride Week at the University of Alberta, that this was a massive thing that they were doing. University of Alberta, for those that are not familiar, is one of the larger universities in Canada. I'm very sure that it's top five with regards to on-campus student population. And so it was scheduled during Pride Week. And so we set up this gigantic pro-life display, challenging the abortion worldview and presenting the reality of what abortion does to preborn children, engaging people in meaningful conversations. And yet all of the media interviews that I did for those 2 or 3 days that we were up there, why did you do this during Pride Week? Why did you do this during Pride Week? What do you have against the Pride community, against the LGBT community, all this kind of stuff? To which I was able, I was able to very honestly answer, I had no idea that this was Pride Week. This was literally the only week over the next like 4 month span available to run this display in Edmonton. And so we came up here. This has nothing to do with Pride Week whatsoever. And it was really awkward and uncomfortable until people could see in my eyes how I was desperately trying to figure out where this kind of breakdown happened. How do we get here without knowing that it's Pride Week? they accepted my explanation, honestly, and we ended up having a tremendous number of really good conversations, albeit very short and very cold, and our volunteer team and our staff team cycling in and out as often as necessary to fend off the frostbite and all that kind of thing. But it got me thinking, and I know that we're nearing the end of June already, and so this might be late for some of you, this might be perfect timing for some of you. The question, should we be trying to do choice chain, vehicle choice chain, banner projects, whatever kind of pro-life outreach, whether you're using abortion victim photography or not, should we be trying to do pro-life events at Pride events? And I think that it's a really interesting question. And in many ways, for me at least, it comes down to a couple factors, why we're doing it and how we're doing it. Because, I mean, after 11 years of full-time work in the Canadian pro-life movement, using analogies over and over and over again, my brain works by way of analogy. And I think about what would I think if I was attending an event that was having not even a direct parallel, but a half parallel. And what I mean by that is, like, imagine at the March for Life, many people in our audience, I'm sure, have attended the March for Life, and many of them have protesters against the pro-life movement and support of abortion. And I think that's a logical protest to have at a March for Life. If you think that abortion is good, if you believe the pro-abortion worldview, then I think that it's very logical that you would go and protest a pro-life event. However, what would I think, what would I say, what would I feel if rather than the pro-abortion movement protesting a pro-life event, an LGBT protest of a pro-life event, if it was just a same-sex marriage, whatever kind of thing at the March for Life, what would go through my brain? And maybe not just that, if I can think of a number of different ones, what would I think of if there was a pro-Hamas or pro-Israel or a pro-Russia or pro-Ukraine or any kind of somewhat unrelated, I would argue in many ways, entirely unrelated issue protesting my pro-life event? And we get confused by that all the time. We have people who respond to our question, what do you think about abortion, with Free Palestine? And we're like, oh, what? Like, how is that relevant at all? Like, that is a topic that we could talk about, but that has no bearing on the question that I just asked or the issue that I'm trying to convey. And so why are we doing activism at Pride events? And I think a few reasons come to the top of my head, and if you have other reasons that I have missed that you think are pertinent, please do drop them in the comments, whether on our YouTube channel, whether you hit me up on my email at email@prolifeguys.com. The first reason why I could see pro-lifers choice chaining a Pride event is because they disagree with the worldview at the Pride event. They disagree with the LGBT lifestyle. And to that, I would respond, why not do direct activism on that issue, right? Just like an abortion advocate debate abortion at a pro-life rally, don't come to a pro-life rally disagreeing with the pro-life worldview and try to talk about Hamas or Israel or something other than that. If you disagree with my lifestyle, if you disagree with my worldview, then let's talk about the worldview, let's talk about the lifestyle. And so if the intention behind doing pro-life activism at the Pride event is to demonstrate our opposition to the Pride agenda, the LGBT agenda, I would say there's better ways of communicating that you're just going to confuse a bunch of people if you're there because you disagree with their lifestyle and you're expressing your disagreement or opposition by way of a different worldview that might have correlation but isn't actually rooted or isn't actually directly related to that issue. And so I would say, don't choice chain a Pride parade if you're just doing it because you disagree with their lifestyle. Similarly, if you're aiming to ruin or disrupt an event, if you say, you know what, the LGBT agenda or the Pride issue is inherently sinful, it's inherently wrong, cards on the table. I think there's an awful lot of inherently wrong stuff with this movement, with the agenda, with everything that goes around it. if my intention in doing Choice Chain at the event or Vehicle Choice Chain or a gigantic banner or something like that is to merely disrupt and piss people off, then what does that reflect on the pro-life movement, the stereotype of the pro-life movement? That are we building into the stereotype that pro-lifers don't like people within the LGBT community? And I don't believe that that should be a statement that we are making as the pro-life movement. I think that pro-life individuals may also very, very much hold that worldview that this is a destructive and sinful agenda. However, I really don't think that we're advancing our mission as the pro-life movement if we're there to try to disrupt or frustrate people and evoke negative interactions with the pro-life movement. I don't think that sets us tremendously far ahead. And I point by way of analogy towards what the impression would be even of like-minded. If I go out on a limb and say, okay, let's suppose for a moment that many of those attending a pro-life rally would also be pro one issue or another. And the opposition to that other issue came out to protest. So let's say for the sake of conversation, I'm not saying that I don't want to wade into the whole Israel-Palestine thing, but it comes up very often at our pro-life events. And so let's say for the sake of conversation that the majority of people attending a pro-life rally are also pro-Israel. If those pro-life people who are in the pro-life mindset, who are in the pro-life zone, as it were, are confronted with pro-Palestine people, what kind of intuitions, what kind of reflexes and reflections are those pro-life people who already incline towards the pro-Israel worldview, what impact is that going to have on the pro-Palestine people and worldview? Because I would assume that if I am at a pro-life event and I am pro-Israel for the sake of conversation, and I see pro-Palestine people there, I am going to dislike them. And I'm going to say, not only do I disagree with the substance of their argument, I disagree with the strategy of their engagement. Let's talk about abortion. Why are we bringing Palestine and Israel and Hamas and the IDF into this rally about abortion? I am going to be frustrated towards those people for distracting from the issue that I've gathered on. Less or more frustrated than I would be if they came to protest via pro-abortion argumentation, right? And so if that's the case for me, then I would have to assume that at least for some people, that's going to be the case for them as well, that somebody celebrating Pride parades or Pride Month or whatever the event is that they are attending would then have that same irritation, at the very least, if not frustration, if not outright anger towards me as a, I don't like pro-lifers. I don't like the pro-life movement. Why are they here ruining my day, ruining this? They're not even talking about this. I'm sure that they wouldn't want us to be there debating the Pride agenda either, but at least I think that they would be more understanding of that debate than they would a pro-life debate there. And so if you're going there to disrupt it and your goal is to piss them off, for lack of a better word, apologies for my language, if you're going there to piss them off, then you're going to do it. And if you're going to do it, then what is the impact that that's going to have? Because yes, they are going to remember the images, and by God's grace, that may very well change their heart and mind, whether that day or someday in the future. However, you have complicated that by packing unnecessary, in my opinion, baggage around the issue, that now they have forged a connection in their brain and probably in their heart as well between even abortion victim photography and your supposed hatred of LGBT individuals and their community. And so you have added baggage that they're going to have to unwind, and they're going to grapple with it. And the images are so powerful that they may very well overcome that baggage, but you've made it more difficult for it to overcome that baggage. And so be mindful of that. The last, and in my mind, best reason to engage at a Pride event is the sheer volume of people. I know that my colleagues in Eastern Canada and myself here in Western Canada, we often target events that are going to have high volumes of people, whether that's sporting events, whether that is homecoming events at universities, whether that's welcoming events at universities, that kind of thing. We are targeting areas that have high volumes of people. And if you say, you know what, there's going to be a high volume of people at the Pride Parade or at this Pride event, and I want to reach as many people as I can, therefore, I am going to do activism at this event. I think that's a good reason to do activism at the event. But just like any other event, we shift from the question of why to the question of how. How are you going to go about it? How are you going to go about it to make sure that you are optimizing the efficacy of the event? That this shouldn't be viewed as a cathartic exercise, because that gets us back to that second reason of just trying to piss people off and just trying to disrupt their event. If we're looking for the catharsis of, I've had my say, and you know what, those people didn't have a great day, they are going to be bothered by the fact that I was there and that kind of thing, then I really think we should be evaluating that. I think that if we have in our mind, okay, it's going to be busy, let's then reflect on how. How do we best engage this large volume of people, whomever they may be, to optimize the efficacy, the impact of our ministry, our outreach, whatever we want to call it? And I think, again, we should be doing our research into the event. I shouldn't just be looking at, oh, there's a whole ton of people over there, let me bring my choice change sign that shows the reality of what abortion does to that big group of people. Because if that big group of people is there for a funeral, then that's not going to be very effective, not going to be very appropriate. If that big group of people is there because it's a children's fun fair, similarly, if that big group of people there is there because it's a big family event, again, there's going to be implications. We're not going to find events where people want us to be there per se, but how much in the zone in some ways are the people going to be there, and how jarring, and in some ways how conducive to conversation or conducive towards engagement is that event? And so do some research on the event. If this event is geared towards our target audience, people who are old enough to have abortions and influence other people to have abortions, then it might be a great event to go to. If we look at the schedule and we say, okay, they have their talks on the go from noon until one, and then they're going to be parading around, and then there's going to be mingling after that. With all due respect, I don't want to go during the talks. I don't want to be trying to disrupt it, but I also don't want to be ignored while everyone is trying to pay attention to whoever their keynote speaker is. I want to go when people are able to talk to me, when people are able to engage in the content that I'm bringing there. And so I'm going to want to go either while people are walking and have them walk by my display with the possibility of stopping to talk, or even if they just walk by and it's a seed that I plant for them to reflect upon, or I want to be engaging them during their mixing and mingling. Which is why, similarly, if we're doing an outdoor viewing of, I mean, if we have anyone from Dallas, Texas joining the call right now, I'm sure they're doing watch parties for Dallas Mavericks playing in the NBA Finals. Do I want to try to bring my choice change sign, my big pro-life sign, to the middle of an outdoor watch party during the game? No, because people are not... It's not a conducive environment towards engagement and consideration. People are going to not only be frustrated again with me, but also they're not going to be in the zone to be able to engage in a meaningful way very well. And if I've got the option of doing choice chain before that event, during that event, or after the event, I am almost certainly going to, at the very least, lower to the last option during the event and prioritize before and or after the event, because that's when people have the flex time. That's when people have the opportunity to engage. That's what I'm going to be gearing towards. And so be intentional that way, and be clear in your messaging that I am not here because I hate LGBT people. I'm here because there's a lot of people here, or I'm here because a lot of people are thinking about a contrary worldview to mine, and I want to engage them on that worldview or something like that. Know what your talking points are so that you can appreciate and understand how to have the best kind of conversation possible. Because we can just kind of look silly at times if we get caught with our pants down on, well, I'm just here. Okay, well, you know this event is happening. You clearly did this intentionally. You clearly arrived, even if you didn't know that this was happening. You need to have a talking point on why you're doing this event at our event or at this event kind of thing. So be mindful of that. And finally, make sure that you are well prepared safety-wise as well. Because when people are in the zone, the mob mentality can take over. And especially if that mob mentality can exert upon its mob a notion of insecurity, a notion of threat, then they're more likely to respond in violent opposition. And so if I am planning a pro-life event at a Pride event, I am going to be intentional about my timing, in my arrival, in my talking notes, and how I engage with security, and having my own security cameras there to ensure that events don't escalate out of control. Because it's going to be very difficult, first of all, to prosecute anyways and identify who the person was, but also not to get into victim blaming. If you were assaulted at one of these events, it's not your own fault, but it is something that we should be cognizant of, that I think it's fair to say that it's more likely that something like that will happen, just like it's more likely that a pro-lifer is going to stick their foot in their mouth if they are thrown off, surprised, and offended by the fact that there is a pro-Palestine or pro-Israel protest that is trying to protest them at the March for Life, trying to disrupt or trying to throw them off or something like that. I think that we as pro-lifers are probably going to be more prone towards acting uncharitably towards them because we hold this event close to our hearts, right? If somebody disrupts the March for Life, as somebody who doesn't even have an incredible stake in the March for Life, I am going to be bothered by that, not to mention those that have looked forward to the March for Life for a really long time. If you're somebody who looks forward to the March for Life as a highlight in your year of pro-life camaraderie and community building, and somebody comes and tries to take that from you or disrupt that or prevent that from happening, it is more likely, unfortunately, that you are going to lash out inappropriately at that than you would have otherwise if it was done in a different manner. Hopefully our goal isn't to get profound backlash, right? Hopefully our goal isn't to try to bait them into attacking us so that we can get some front page news kind of thing, but rather hopefully our goal is to change hearts and minds. Hopefully our goal is to save little babies. And if that is our goal, then looking at how to do this. And so, moral of the story, I think that you can at times do activism well at Pride events, LGBT worldview agenda events and whatnot, but that we have to ask the question, why am I here and how am I conducting myself in this event in a way that will optimize the efficacy of this event, change the most hearts, change the most mind, save the most lives. What am I actually doing? Don't do it to try to piss people off. Don't do it just because you disagree with their worldview. Have the courage, have the training to engage them directly on that worldview. If you are there because you disagree with their worldview, then engage them on that factor and leave your pro-life event to another day or another time kind of thing. But if you are going to do it because you have a good opportunity to engage your target audience in a meaningful conversation, then be mindful as to what is happening. Do your research behind the scenes. Be mindful of your messaging and be mindful of the security components. And so those are a few thoughts. Let me know if you agree. Let me know if you disagree. Let me know if there's things that I've forgotten in my considerations here. And thank you a ton for sticking around. May God bless you abundantly wherever you're at, however many hours are left in your day.